This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock. Brought to you by West Escondido, West Oceanside, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. All part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. And now, here's your host of Auto Talk Radio, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, thanks for joining us here this morning. Here we are. For sure. Why are you looking at me like that? It's kind of weird. Well, did you buy a Cybertruck?
I did.
You did?
Yeah. A remote control one.
The little one. How much did it cost? $12.
Yeah, $12. That's the only Cybertruck I can afford.
It's got a watch battery in it.
Yep.
Only Cybertruck I could afford. Good stuff. All right, folks, thanks for joining us here this morning on Auto Talk Radio. We're happy to have you with us. So this show, today is a tribute to my brother who this is the anniversary of his passing a year ago. My nephew Christian, his son, is with us, who is also a technician that works with us at the West Automotive Group. And we're just always missing Kevin, of course. And so I wanted to kind of do this show in remembrance of Kevin, because Kevin was an amazing, great technician, and also obviously my brother and Christian's father, and great guy, and we miss him a lot. So this is kind of just remembrance of Kevin.
Yeah,
so cool. Good stuff. Yep. So the show today we are talking about is counterfeit automotive parts, as far as that goes. We're going to discuss a bit about this and stuff. This is quite a show you can fill with a lot. We might bash on some EVs a little bit. That's what we do, Paul says, here and there. You know, if we get sidetracked, that's why I brought up the Cybertruck that we were talking about last week. So, some of the good stuff. It's all good. So, we're just going to talk about whatever comes across automotive-wise and remember, it's a Kevin. And if all of you have been listening to Auto Talk Radio for quite a while, you know that Kevin did the show with me for years. And he is obviously truly missed. And we're just going to kind of remember him as we do every day. But just a little bit of a tribute to him. The show today that I wrote the show for is, like I said, about counterfeit parts. And this has become, there's actually a whole council that deals with this. It's called the A2C2. It's the Automotive Anti-Counterfeiting Council. The reason they created this council is there's such a large influx of this stuff coming offshore. That's pretty dangerous stuff when put on an automobile, that they had to create a council to start working on this stuff. And you think of counterfeit things and different things, but there's so many parts on this, like and it's an analysis of online market practices that allow counterfeiters to put unsafe products in American consumers' cars, proposed solutions for minimizing the proliferation of counterfeits, which they're working on to prevent these from coming in. So, and just to start on one part of this, the counterfeit brake pads that actually will catch on fire.
Jeez.
Well, so when you start reading through this and realizing, I mean, we source our parts, obviously, at the West Automotive Group from known suppliers, right? I mean, we don't buy offshore stuff. We don't have stuff sent in from China or whatever. But the problem with this stuff is not that, just like most, a lot of it's bought in online stores, that it's in influxed into somehow. So like, and I don't think the people online necessarily initially knew that the stuff they're selling is counterfeit, right? So I'm sure there are some people that do know this stuff is counterfeit and they're selling it anyway. So we get those bad actors, right, in the system and things like that. But the safety of this is something that when reading through this and talking about it, we were talking about it earlier, is just very concerning as far as that goes. So, and I didn't realize there's a lot of different parts here that can, but one of the big ones, brake pads, obviously safety wise, and they go through this testing with it. And there's ways that we test brake pads, right, to make sure they're, and actually these brake pads overheat, they're full of sawdust. Can you imagine making a brake pad out of sawdust? So, but they compound it and they add sawdust and other items like that when heated up, they actually catch on fire. So what happens when your wheel catches on fire and the O-rings in your caliper melt and then the brake fluid comes out, it burns more.
Yeah.
And then, well, brake fluid's mineral oil.
Yeah.
Shouldn't put a flame to it. It's a bad idea. It's a safety issue, obviously, so as far as that goes. This foundation was founded, or this council was founded in 2015 and comprised of 10 North American vehicle manufacturers. So the vehicle manufacturers created this because of the concern of this, you know, making sure that this stuff wasn't put on vehicles as it was starting to come into the U.S. 30 trusted brands and subsidiary brands. So those are brands such as Cardone and you know, people that make quality auto parts, they're also involved in this. For 90% of the nation's passenger vehicle market, the safety is the primary concern of the consumer, is why they're doing this. Counterfeit auto parts in the United States, these parts give rise to grave public health and safety concerns, as counterfeits are not made to the specification of original manufacturer stuff. They're not subject to quality control tests or application of industry safety measures. They do not abide by existing laws and regulations and often fail to perform as designed. So all of those are concerns. But so the list of seized parts, check this out. This is good stuff. Airbags. Is that concerning or what?
Yeah.
So like you get an accident, your airbag doesn't deploy because they leave parts out, like the deployant or the bag's not in there or things like that. And we've seen here in San Diego actually lawsuits for people that have, and I don't think that was counterfeit parts, but that's a whole nother scenario. Remember, do you remember the kid in Valley Center that got killed in a head-on crash? He was in a Chevy pickup truck.
I don't know.
What had happened is they had purchased a truck from these folks. Unbeknownst, somebody had put this truck back together after a major accident in their garage or whatever. Instead of replacing the airbags, they just do a vinyl repair to the airbag cover. Mm-hmm. Everything looks fine, right? But you get in an accident, no airbag deploys, and unfortunately, he lost his life. There was a big lawsuit involved that. All because somebody was trying to save some money and not put the car back.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, pretty sad thing, right? Yeah. They said if there would have been an airbag, he probably would have saved his life. So just one of those things that you want to be careful of. So same thing, though. Somebody fixing your car purchases, let's say it's a repair facility, and they purchase airbags, and they don't know that they're counterfeit from someplace. They don't deploy. Same, you can end up the same issue.
Yeah.
So controlling this stuff is the main thing. It's very important as far as that goes. And airbags are expensive, right? All parts are expensive for a car. So as far as that goes. So there's a lot to this. And we're going to continue to talk about it, different things. But the list of stuff, check this out. Airbags, brake pads, wheels, seat belts, oil and filters, oil and air filters. Probably not dangerous to you, but could damage your car.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about an oil filter? There's nothing inside of it, just the can.
Yeah.
So, well, you laugh, but I mean, that's probably what it is.
Yeah. Or
so
the element comes out and clogs the, you know, low oil pressure.
Yeah, it could be a little roll of toilet paper in there, right? Your dad used to talk about this. Your dad had one of these. This is the funniest thing. And he never, it's not on a car, but he just had it. Somebody gave it to us. There used to be this oil filter thing that you added in line, and you drop a roll of toilet paper in there, and it would filter oil through it. You probably still have it. Yeah. It's probably somewhere.
Yeah, I have it in the garage.
So you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
This thing was like, I don't know, Acme oil filter additional, like, yeah, but it was a thing that went in there and you truly put a roll of toilet paper in it, like from the old days, like from the 50s, and supposedly it would filter the oil through the toilet paper.
I remember we were talking about that one time and I had no idea what you guys were talking about. Uh-huh. And I was literally Googling what the heck you guys were talking about because I never heard of it.
But it, like, obviously, you would never want to put it on a car these days, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Back, I mean, in the 50s and 60s, there was a lot of clearance between bearings. I mean, the toilet paper is going to come apart.
Yeah.
It's, kind of, it's just not, unless you really use really good, like that bear toilet paper. What's the commercial
Charmin.
With them? Is that the Bears?
Yeah, I think so. Charmin Ultra Strong.
That might make it through. It might work out. I don't know. Shout out to Charmin. There you go. If you want to use toilet paper to filter
it's
your
oil.
It's
our new sponsor.
It's a new sponsor. There you go. But the main thing to that is engines these days could not deal with that. So the same thing with what Paul's talking about, you get a filter that comes apart and those particles go into a motor. We all know the oil passages are so small these days, you're gonna have bearing failure, right? So as far as that goes,
it's not worth saving $2 on an oil filter.
No, definitely not. or oil, they're talking about oil too, like, wow. So you know, quality oil has specific additives in it.
Yeah.
Some oil has zinc in it, like required things like that keep the bearing life going. So if you're using offshore oil, that's, you know, I always used to, it's funny because I'd talked to, there was somebody that was talking about using reclaimed oil. And it, when I was in the Navy years ago, we used a lot of that. It would, they, it high detergent, they'd clean it, detergent it, put it back in a barrel. And then we were like using it. I'm like, this stuff is junk, man.
Yeah, that was like, a fleet that was asking.
Yeah, it was a fleet. They wanted to be environmentally friendly. I'm like, that's not environmentally friendly. You're going to need a new motor. That's not going to work out.
The engine's going to be in the landfill.
Exactly. So, yes, not a great idea there as far as that goes. So there's just some of the things as far as that goes. Let's see what else they have here on this list. Control arms, windshields. There's one to think about. Windshield. Most people don't understand that the windshield's made to shorten specifications, which makes the structure of the roof and the car stronger. So if you just put a piece of plexiglass in there, it probably don't work as well. Yeah. It deters from the safety of the vehicle, obviously.
And you can't forget about the ADOS cameras in the front now, too.
So. Well, you could put plexiglass in and just glue them back on there, right?
Well, I've never tried it, so I don't know.
Are they made out of sawdust too?
I'd hope not. Can't see out.
That is true. So in everything these days, and ADOS is another thing that's like something like that's very important. And what about if the sensors for the ADOS stuff, like that people are, you know, because in this list, I mean, we're barely control arms, windshields, bearings, steering linkages, which would be anything from tie rod ends to ball joints, etc., not made properly. You ever seen a ball joint pop off a car going 60 mile an hour down the freeway?
Every Toyota on the side of the road.
Yeah, but those usually happen turning, like going into a driveway, because you put a stress on it and it pops out of the joint, right? Then it destroys the car. It's not just Toyotas, though. If you let any ball joint go to a bad enough spot.
Yeah, over 200K.
You put a stress on it. They can separate, but usually it's at low speeds, like pulling into a driveway, right? Or through a heavy dip, usually not going down the freeway, luckily. But you don't know about any of these others, the way they're designed. So.
Yeah, did you see the Subaru in Miramar?
Yeah, what happened with that?
Oh, we fixed it.
It was a lower ball joint. No, I mean, what happened with it? It just lower ball joint separated?
No, they hit something.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, that'll do it too.
But the ball joint did separate.
Oh, it did.
And the control arm bent.
Okay.
And the tie rod.
Did it damage the body at all?
A little bit. Yeah, okay. It hit the fender.
But it's done and gone.
It's gone. Yeah.
Oh, good.
It drives straight now.
They're putting new parts on it, align it, and everything's good.
Yeah,
look at that.
Camera and everything.
But that was that wasn't a failure of a part, except from being impacted. That's what it caused it.
Yeah,
folks, you cannot run your car into a brick wall. It does not work out ever.
Was that what the Subaru hit, a brick wall? or was it?
You know, I didn't, because I
don't even know.
Because I'm trying to think, like, it has to be low enough to the ground where it didn't destroy the body, but it destroyed the ball joint.
Most likely something like a center median.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was.
Okay. That's what kind of it looked like.
And it was the right, but it was the right front wheel, wasn't
it? Yeah, right front. Yeah. It ripped the wheel clear off.
How would you hit a center median only with a right front wheel? Are you going left to center?
Or I don't know.
I mean, after block. The rain in California, all well, the roads have giant and what
could
have
could have so. Gone well, or could have gone well. That's true. A pothole, one of those big potholes, could do that too, right?
It'd have to be a big sinkhole, maybe. Sinkhole. Well,
no, if you got a pothole that's over 12 inches and you hit that thing at 60 mph, the wheel drop into that thing.
Yeah,
it punch
I guess it would have to have rim. A. It would. Yeah, it would have to have an impact.
Well, there's plenty of potholes that way here in San Diego County. There's plenty of potholes.
Yeah, but you would have to have one big enough that the tire would actually drop into. So yeah, it'd have to be
typically
a good size
one. A rim and a tire and a pothole.
Yeah, usually a bent rim and a blown tire. Yeah, usually it doesn't rip a ball joint apart.
Yeah. But
a center median will do it. I can tell you that. Yeah. You clip that thing at a good speed and it'll take out a lower controller without question.
Or high curb.
High curb.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. Now I'm questioning how these people drive. Folks, if you keep your car in the lane of travel, usually it's the safest way to go. All right, folks.
They were trying to put the shiny side down, I think.
Yeah.
Don't ever put the shiny side down. That's a rule here. We have it, Auto Talk Radio. You keep the shiny side up and the rubber side down. All right, folks, we're going to take our first break real quick as we're talking about counterfeit auto parts and other items on a vehicle and braking. We're going to take our first break, like I said. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM in North County. We'll be right back.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. Why I got you here, I want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and STARS certified for smog, taking care of folks up there for over 30 years now. And West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon, AAA approved out there in the East County, taking care of folks for over 10 years now. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, AAA approved and smog certified, taking care of folks there in Central San Diego for over 6 years now. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road in East Gate Mall, AAA approved and STARS certified, taking care of folks over there for almost 5 years now. Boy, lots of fun. And of course, West Oceanside Automotive and Transmission on South Coast Highway, AAA approved, taking care of folks over there for almost a year now. So all of us at the West Automotive Group, me, myself, and my employees come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. Believe in the same philosophy. You never put money ahead of people. Stop in to have your vehicle service and repair and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. The West Automotive Group is proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs also on approved credit. Stop in and take advantage of that. We'll get you all set up. Ask one of my managers or service consultants that you're dealing with. They'll get you all hooked up on that. You can also take advantage of our quality diagnosis, CertiCare, if it's transmission or any drivability, other problems you're having. We diagnose it all. Best money ever spent, as I say, is on a qualified technician at a quality facility to diagnose your vehicle properly. We also offer shuttle rides to or from work or home with low-cost rental vehicles at some of our rental partners that are nearby each location. You can jump on West Automotive Group and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And we send out little tips, automotive recommendations, things like that, good stuff. So jump on westautomotivegroup.com and follow us. You can also check out the Auto Man segments where I'm the Auto Man on the CW on Friday morning and Friday evening news, or Fox 5 News on Wednesday mornings around 11. And check us out. If you miss them, you can right from westautomotivegroup.com, go to the Automan TV YouTube channel and check out them all. We post them there after they've aired live. We'll also post all the podcasts from our talk shows here on the 1170. You can go to Auto Talk Radio straight from there and listen as you like. Or you can grab the podcast. They're always available at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, Stitcher. Oh, no Stitcher, sorry. Spotify, iHeartRadio.com, and TuneIn. I just got so used to saying Stitcher all the time now. I forget that they got rid of that thing. It went bye-bye. But yes, or you can email me anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. But great stuff. Thanks for joining us this morning here at Auto Talk Radio as we're discussing counterfeit parts and stuff. Hey, we got any car shows going, Brendan?
We do. If you're willing to go all the way up to LA, the 11th annual Bonita High School Car Show is going on there, and all the proceeds help with the Bonita High School Automotive Technology Program that they have up there. That is today at 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., so you can head over there. Otherwise, here in San Diego, there is one at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. today as well, off of Woodrow Avenue in San Diego. It is the Cold Case Community Car Show. It is in remembrance of Daniel A. Cariz, who was murdered, and unfortunately they have not solved his murder yet.
Oh, wow. When was that?
I have to look up to see that happened. But all the proceeds and donations that go to that show go to a program that helps with victims of violent crimes and their families. So
nice.
You can check that out as well. I do also have a couple of automotive history things. I meant to read it last week. The last ever Studebaker was manufactured in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada in 1966 last week.
Wow. So,
what's your opinion on the Studebaker?
It's old.
I mean, it was such a bulky car, but I mean...
Well, everything was bulky back then.
That's true, too, yeah. But I
didn't realize they made it all the way to 1966, though.
Yeah, uh-huh. I remember they were also manufactured in your home state of Ohio, too. Yeah. I know that. What was it? Elyria? Is that what it was?
What?
Elyria. L-E-Y-R-I-A. Is that how you pronounce it? Elyria. Or Elyria. Anyways.
L-E, you said?
E-L-Y-R-I-A.
Never even heard of it. Okay. I grew up in Ohio. I don't know where that's at. Where's it by?
I'll have to look it up later. And again, and lastly, today, in 1945, the SS Cars Limited changed its name to... Any guesses? What big car company today?
I had to probably Chevy car company, General Motors.
Oh, it's actually the Jaguar.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go.
They were
that was a big car company?
Jaguar's a car company. Yes, of course it's a big car company.
Not really.
You don't think so?
Paul's favorite car, next to the new Elon Musk truck.
If we're doing a reliability...
I'm not saying it was a good car. It's a good car for company. I'm just saying it's a big company. If you put me in the top 15 markets, I would say Jaguar's in there. You wouldn't say so?
Maybe in the early 2000s.
They're up there on most non-reliable car.
Yeah, well... I mean, they like the cars now, they make the F-Pace and that.
I know you like that one.
No, not really.
That coupe one?
No, not really. The F-Pace is the SUV.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, the two-door coupe one?
Yeah.
That's a nice car.
Yeah.
Super fast.
Yeah, just get AAA.
Super cool looking. Well, no, you buy it. It's like a Ferrari. Drive it on Sunday to brunch. Yeah. That way it never breaks down on you. So,
Jaguar says that they're going to be all electric by 2025. That's, wow.
Interesting.
They're trying their best.
Owning one of those, like owning an MG midget, you need two.
Yeah.
that way you can drive one when the other one's broken.
Yeah, that and Range Rovers.
Same thing, man. Mm-hmm. Once again.
They're just, nice brand new, but yeah, they don't last.
Well, and it's funny because, not funny, but like I was talking to somebody the other day, Mercedes, the SUV 450. What is GLE? GLE or GLX? Maybe GL 450. Maybe it was. I don't know. It's the SUV one. Yeah. The 450. I remember that. I don't remember the acronym that came before the 450, but that's fine. The point that I made to this, she was talking about, well, this is broken and that's broken. I'm like, the car has 160,000 miles on it. It wasn't made to go that far.
Yeah.
She's always, it wasn't? It's absolutely not. Well, first off, if you look at the European... Mercedes, BMW, and them, and you look at the requirements in Europe, that car's not even allowed on the road with that kind of mileage on it. It's gone. It's done.
Yeah.
You can't keep them that long. I think it's like 120 relative to us. I know they go in kilometers, but 125,000 miles, those cars have to be retired there.
Yeah, do they do the smog inspection there with the actual inspection?
I think
California is the only one that we don't like look the car over for safety.
Correct. One of them. But no, I'm talking about in Europe. The thing about Europe, though, and like you have to understand is they don't drive. Like, we drive a lot, but we're more spread out.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like I saw a thing one time that somebody had moved here from Europe, and he said, you know, people in Europe think that Americans aren't that well traveled. But we really are, because they're like, in 45 minutes anywhere there, you can go from England to Germany or England to France. Or so when you talk about well-traveled, they go to a lot of countries, but it's closer than us going to a state.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To go from here to Colorado, how long are you on the road for? How many miles is that? Quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's hours.
Eight.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, all the way up to the top of Utah is definitely an 8-hour run from here. So it's a heck of a drive, right? So we have lots of land to cover. You could travel throughout the United States for years and not leave here. I mean, and see a lot of stuff. So, but the point of that is they don't drive their cars as far or as much as we do. So to get 120,000 miles on them takes a long time.
Yeah.
So they have it for quite a while. That's the point they made. So, but these cars, they start getting over 120,000 miles and things, the plastic stuff breaks on them, right? The electronics go south on them. There's all kinds of issues, right?
So. I have to make a correction, and I'm going to be so embarrassed when I read this.
What's that?
Jaguar and Land Rover, since they're the same company.
They are.
Number 46 in the world.
There you go.
I was not even close to the top.
They're down there.
What are the top 15 besides obviously GM, Chrysler, and Ford are in the top.
Yes, you're absolutely probably right.
Probably BMW, Mercedes.
BMW is in there. Mercedes is also in there. Mm-hmm. Some other, and keep in mind, this is the world, mind you.
Porsche.
Porsche is not on here, actually, surprisingly. Yeah. So we got Changan. I'm going to sit
down. What?
Changan is number 15.
That must be China.
Uh-huh.
Only in China.
Number 14 is Tesla. Then we have Audi, BYD.
What?
BYD. I'll look
that's up. That's in India.
Thing. Okay.
I think it's Indian.
Is it?
Yeah.
Mercedes, then BMW, then Suzuki, Chevrolet, Kia.
Suzuki doesn't even exist anymore.
Barely. It's like Mitsubishi.
Oh, it does, doesn't it?
It's Suzuki? I don't think so.
Made by Mitsubishi.
They're out of country still.
Oh, okay.
Number 6 is Nissan. 5 is Ford, Hyundai, Honda, Volkswagen, and Toyota's number 1.
Yep. Oh, there we go.
For landslide.
By what? Reliability?
No. By most cars sold.
Most cars sold.
Okay. Yeah,
currently.
In 2023 specifically, yeah.
Okay.
We haven't had
the companies must exist if they're on there.
Mm-hmm.
So still, that doesn't mean they're sold here, though. They could be, but this is worldwide, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I even made the claim,
where,
though.
Where's that GM at in there?
I think you said 15, 16?
Something like, 16. Sorry. That's my phone.
That's
no. Brandon's sorry,
phone.
Sorry.
Dinging.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. No, I just... I'm
annoying everybody today.
No, you're good. You're good.
It's all good.
Yeah, GM is number 16 on the list.
Gotcha.
Followed by Mazda.
It's a lot. Well, Toyota stays number one. They sell all over the world a lot.
Yeah.
Like just like, you know, some of the cool cars. One of the cool cars that they have, they can't get it, the Hilux diesel.
Yeah, that thing Toyota, is pretty cool.
When you're out of the country, you know, they have them in Mexico. They have them all. The rest of the world, I think they have them. We don't have them here. But a pretty cool looking truck, actually. Yeah. Have a lot of them in Africa, places like that. So, they make a good product. That's for sure. So, anyway, there you have it for cars and what we have for good stuff. So, we're back at this parts and quality and... Very interesting, for sure. The importing a counterfeit stuff. So obviously, when I was reading over this, this has become a really big problem. So the things I was reading off the counterfeit stuff, that was a list of seized parts. So ignition coils, microchips, spark plugs, solenoids, clutch housing, crankshafts, diagnostic equipment, suspension parts, oil pumps, and more. All this kind of stuff explained that while counterfeit auto parts may have been historically limited to cosmetic items like hood ornaments and decals, U.S. Customs and Border Protection seizure statistics reveal that counterfeit safety components like brake pads, airbags, wheels, and suspension parts are becoming increasingly common. Simply, almost every type of auto part can be and has been counterfeited. All right, we're going to dig into this a little bit more here. We're going to take our last break. Folks, you're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 and 96.1 FM. And we'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, thank you for joining us back here doing the Kevin Bowersock Memorial Show. Just thinking about Kevin and missing him as always. Yeah, would be great if he was with us for sure.
Yeah,
I did a lot of great shows with him. So,
Dad
was an amazing technician.
Yeah, he used to help. I learned so much from him. You know, like weird problems with the car. They'd be like, "All right, go do this. Watch this on the scantle."
For the way that he was a great person to talk to. But sometimes he would stumble over his words. But as soon as he started talking about cars, everything would fall in line. Like, he was just perfect just talking about cars right then and there. So
yeah,
it was very easy to understand and listen to him about it.
So. Programming and stuff. Like, hey, I have to have 2-factor keys on the Ford. He's like, no, you can emulate it by, you know, like, it's crazy stuff I learned from him.
He knew a lot.
Yeah.
He sure did. Missed every day. Every day. As we're talking about counterfeit parts and stuff like that coming into the U.S., it's a great show, and I just wanted to, like I said, this is in memory of Kevin for sure, because he is truly missed every day. Amazing technician, amazing brother, amazing father. So,
amen.
All good stuff. He's up in heaven fixing stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Probably got there and the gate was broken, so he probably, welded it.
Yeah, welded it. Reinforced it.
Reinforced it. Okay. That won't be breaking no more. So, anyway, all good stuff in remembrance. Right. Anyway, I do also want to remind folks that the show is brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. They are the highest quality batteries out there. We do not stock nor sell any other battery. Well, we do sell other batteries if Interstate don't have one, but it's very uncommon.
Yeah.
So, yep. 99.9% of the vehicle batteries are covered by Interstate, and those are the ones we use because they are the highest quality. Also, the number one technician recommended battery worldwide for sure. So, if you need a battery for your vehicle, jump on westautomotivegroup.com, make an appointment, get in, we'll get you an Interstate installed. If you need a battery for any other need, and when I say that, battery backups for alarms, all kinds of stuff. They have batteries for everything. Check them out at their storefronts at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Battery, a battery for every need. Brendan, I know you're dying. You have a joke.
I don't have a joke. We were talking about airbags on the commercial.
Uh-huh.
It turns out they have a different chemical than what you guys were saying. You said it was carbon dioxide.
We just talked about
carbon dioxide.
So no.
CO.
CO2.
That's carbon dioxide.
Oh, I guess you're right.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I'm learning.
I'm looking at the periodical chart right now. Hold on a second. What is the inflator? Because that's what we're talking about is the inflator.
So I'm looking it up. McGill University says it's actually sodium azide.
Okay.
Which is an inorganic salt of some sort.
Okay.
And when it's combined with heat, it produces nitrogen gas.
That's what it is, which inflates the bag.
Right.
So okay. So it's nitrogen, which is an inert gas.
But either way, it still burns you because it's an inorganic compound as it is. And apparently it says it's potentially a deadly chemical, that exists as an odorless white solid inside the airbag itself. Mm-hmm. So the reason why I was asking this is because I noticed that most people actually get burns when the airbags
You do get burns from deployments, yes.
Exactly. So that's why I was asking about that whole situation there. So,
but the light, when you say burn, I mean, it's like a class one first degree burn.
But I was just wondering about the first degree.
A light sunburn going on there,
Yeah.
Much better, though, than your face plowing into the steering wheel.
I know. Yes. Or as you say about the nose.
Yeah. We don't want your nose on the back of your head. Never a good thing. So airbags save a ton of... The technology they came out with that saves a ton of lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So. Especially with the curtains now and everything.
Oh, yeah. Side airbags, the deployment bags. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, well, protects your head and your body. And it's pretty amazing, the stuff they've come up with.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of these crashes... that the airbags save people's life without airbags. Like I think some extra, I don't know the percentage number, but it's pretty high that without the airbags, a lot of these people, they suspect would be dead, would be killed by the crash. So, and of course cars are getting faster and crazier and all that. So
airbags were invented by a Navy man.
Were they?
So, yeah. It says here, Hetrick was an industrial engineer and a member of the United States Navy. He was working with Navy torpedoes when he caught the idea of a way to protect his family on the road. And he used the ideas of a torpedo blasting off and some kind of bag deployment blasting off all of a sudden to help protect his family if they have a car wreck.
So, there you go.
There you go.
So now they're built into... almost every single, every car's got airbags now.
Yeah. Right. When did they first come out? 92? 93?
His patent came in 1951 specifically, but in terms of like actual cars, it says here in 1964, it was in Japan.
Oh, wow. First.
Wow.
Was that old?
Yeah. Jeez. 1973 was when America started deploying, putting airbags into their cars.
Very first.
73.
Oh. The first car to have it was a Chevy Impala. It says so.
Was not standard equipment on most cars, though.
Yeah,
probably, the 90s.
Yeah,
I
didn't see them till the 90s.
Well, I mean that they were standard equipment.
Yeah,
probably,
yeah. Upgrade.
Yeah, be very careful working on cars these days if you're not a technician and you want to poke wires. Because your head's in front of a steering wheel, and if you tend to deploy that bad boy,
that's happened. People are
needs is a power and a ground, and it goes off. That's what happens. So, got to be very careful.
So, do you find all the airbags specifically like a complete necessity? Because there's ones on the sides, there's ones.
Yeah, well, they're for everywhere. All different kinds of crashes.
There's even one for the back of your head too.
Correct.
I know. Yeah. So.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Just wondering.
Well, the one from the back of your head keeps you from getting extreme whiplash, like when you get hit head on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they have the seatbelt tensioners now too.
Yeah,
tightens the seatbelt.
Yeah, because you can break your neck.
Now, is this computer deployed where you get into a crash and the computer automatically senses? Oh, okay.
Yes.
The crash happened head on, and you're going to get whiplash.
Well, there's sensors all over the vehicle.
Lots of them.
Well, I'm just surprised. Well, the car accident can happen at any point, and at that point, how is the computer system knowing? Oh, okay, it was a head-on collision. We got to go.
The sensors on the vehicle know what's colliding with what.
Okay,
and then they'll talk to the BCM, and the BCM will deploy which airbags depending on which sensors were hit.
I was just thinking because it's so sporadic, the computer might not know
the lick of a tenth of a millionth of a second, it deploys those things. It's crazy how fast it is. Think about that. Yeah. How fast a crash happens and an airbag comes out before. You actually hit the item that's in the car that you're heading towards, like, you know, your face into the steering wheel or side of your head if you get a side impact, et cetera.
That's why the airbag light comes on first ignition if it sees a failure. A check engine light has to see it, two, three times until it turns the light on?
Yeah, the minute the airbag picks up any kind of issue, the system within the BCM for the airbags, it turns on the airbag lights and lets you know. Then it puts the system... I don't know if they're all this way before, but it used to put the system into a point where it would deploy no airbags because it picked up a fault. So if you continue to drive with an airbag light on and you do get an accident, the airbags will not deploy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it doesn't know what's, it needs help.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as far as that goes, important stuff for sure. All right. As we head back to talking about really good counterfeit crap. So Yeah, this is kind of some amazing stuff. You need to be very careful. So a lot of this stuff is coming from like China. I mean, it's really what it's made. It's because the factories, they're not, it's not regulated, and they allow this stuff to be sold all over the world. They don't, I don't think they control it much from what it says. Yeah, so law enforcement, criminal investigation to apprehend counterfeiters, which in one instance led to a raid against a large counterfeiting ring in China, resulting in multiple arrests, seizure of an array of manufacturing equipment, hundreds of thousands of counterfeit airbag parts. There's your airbag problem. You don't want a counterfeit airbag, I guarantee you. But there's a danger of counterfeit auto parts to consumers, dealers, industry partners, law enforcement, and all that. So, I mean, when dealing with this stuff and how they're trying to get it into the country. Very interesting, though. What were you going to say?
I just don't see them. I see that being a problem for people that are like the do-it-yourself or trying to buy like a really cheap part.
Well, but I truly think these guys are trying to implement into the supply system.
Into dealers and
everything. Especially like there's a large auto parts reseller on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they intentionally would buy this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it gets put into the, you know, or like eBay. Same
thing. eBay. But I'm saying that independent isn't buying their parts on eBay.
No. We are not. We buy from, but
yeah, yeah.
What if it got into the supply chain of the major people we buy from?
Yeah.
Let's say Napa, accidentally, this stuff was sold to them. Then they
didn't know. Yeah, but they're buying direct from Denso.
They are usually,
I wonder how it gets,
Well, I think this more happens on places like eBay, Amazon.
That's what I'm thinking.
The big online sellers of aftermarket stuff, the buyer accidentally buys. I mean, because there are good parts that come from China too, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So somehow some of this gets through a supplier that they buy from and then gets into the system, which is possible from what I'm reading on this. So that's why you got to be very careful about where you're buying from, what you're buying from. Yes. All in all, I mean, we buy from trusted and well-known suppliers, therefore we do not have these problems, and they're very careful about who they buy from.
Yeah.
So yes, reading this, I think more of it is people buying stuff that's getting into the system, like you said, eBay, that large auto reseller on the thing. I and like Amazon, because the people selling this stuff on there,
yeah, they can get it.
They could be anybody. The marketplace, right? They like sign up for an Amazon account. What were we going to say,
Brandon? This just happened 2 weeks ago in Detroit. There's a place called Quality Collision Parts, and they were there to help with any cars that got into an accident and then replacing their parts.
They were a parts supplier?
They weren't a parts supplier, but the Department of Homeland Security found that they were using counterfeit auto parts in order to fix some of the things, and it was over $200,000 worth of parts.
Yeah, so those guys might have been out knowing what they were sourcing from these people,
exactly,
and importing them because they can make a lot more money on them, right? Mm-hmm. So those bad actors in the system that are actually here that go out. So then it becomes important to know who you're taking your car to get it fixed. Yeah. Also, mm-hmm. So in that case, good point. Thank you very much for that. But yeah, so. You have to be kind of careful with this stuff. So I guess the key to this is really knowing who you're taking your car to.
Yeah.
And that they're smart enough to know where they're sourcing your parts to
and
be
there,
put on your car.
There is guys that come in vans that try to sell oil and stuff. It looks
motor
like
motor mounts, oil, things like that. Yeah.
They're just trying to sell oil. It's like, you know, The Simpsons, like it's Duff beer. I swear it looked like it was like Duff oil. It just said oil on it. What the heck is this? I'm good. I just more wanted to see what the heck it was.
Did you tell him I'm good?
Yeah, pretty I'm much. Good. I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, we buy quality oil from a quality oil supplier. They actually show up in big trucks and
it's not, deliver not it. Handwritten oil.
Handwritten oil on it. This looks like water. No, it's fine. No. It's not water.
You can have a $14.99 oil change with this.
Absolutely.
I'm good.
Yeah, be careful of the $14.99 oil change out there, too. That's an interesting thought, though. When we talk about this and we see these people that run these real cheap oil change. I don't think there's any is there $14.99 oil changes out there still?
I think there's some.
I would go more with like $29.95 maybe, huh?
I think with like discounts or coupons for first timers or something just to get them in.
Fair warning. One of two things, they are using terrible products. Terrible oil. Or the only other thing is they're giving money away like crazy to get you in there to try to sell you something else. I mean,
that's the auto shop I used to go to before you, they're still doing it to this day, $14.99.
So there's one of two things that can happen is, well, first off, you're not getting a master technician to look at your vehicle. I guarantee you that.
Right.
And another thing is either the quality of parts they're using to do this is extremely low, because I got to be honest with you, $14, you can't even pay the person that's changing the oil. So it's not going to be a master technician. It's definitely going to be some kid, I presume, they hired that just does this. Mm-hmm. Nobody's looking at your car, right? Then what is the quality of the parts being put on it? Because I got to tell you something. We can't even... I can't even buy two quarts of oil for $14.99. So how?
SAE approved.
We always use only full synthetic for everything. Right. But still, our quarts of oil are $9. That's a great price for oil, to be honest with you. Go to a gas station and try to buy a quart of oil. No, I'm serious.
I know.
It's $14-$15 for even a synthetic blend. It's ridiculous.
Even their store brand, too.
Yeah, it is. It's super expensive. So if one quart of oil at a gas station that you need to add to your car costs $14, how are they doing a complete quality oil change on your car? Go ahead, answer that one for me. I'm waiting to hear the answer.
Like, oh, I shouldn't have mentioned this.
Why am I getting attacked?
Because he said...
I realized how terrible of a story it was because you mentioned it to me. And then also on top of that, at the time I had the Chevy Sonic in, I was having valve cover issues. And every time I went in there to fix it, not even a week later, it was broken again. Uh-huh. And luckily they said, we have a month warranty on all of our fixes. So you can come in over and over.
They just break clean it.
Exactly.
Like it's fixed.
That's it. And then after the month ended, they're like, well, since the month have already passed, we now have to charge you again. I was like, forget it. I'm just going to go to your shop and get that fixed. And I had an issue with that car.
Well, that was right after you met me, too.
Yeah. Exactly. So it was frustrating. I'm done with that store. Never going to it again.
It's been like 4 years since you've been there now.
I told my family never to go there, and they agreed, and they've always gone to your shop instead. So, you know.
And we have a 2-year, 24,000-mile warranty.
Exactly. Much better than a one-month warranty.
Well, if you only charge $14 for an oil change, you probably can only give a one-month warranty, I'll be honest with you. You can't put a whole lot behind that there as far as that goes. So you got to be kind of careful with that. So I guess the takeaway from all this, though, is find a quality place to repair your vehicle, such as us, that understands where they need to source their quality parts from to fix your vehicle right the first time. I mean, it's that easy. You want to be careful not to. Yeah, same thing with collision. We don't do collision at all. But make sure you take yourself, if your car it does get in an accident, make sure you're taking your vehicle to a quality place that's been around, there to take care of folks, you know, as far as that goes. Because you don't want to end up with, like, where did you say that was, in Michigan or someplace like that, that happened?
Yeah, it was in Detroit, Michigan.
Michigan. So, obviously, that place was sourcing parts intentionally offshore that were no good so they could elevate the money they were making off of them, you know, as far as that goes. So, you want to go to an honest place. Make sure you get a quality auto repair, quality collision repair, whatever it is. So, there are plenty of those people that do quality.
Yeah, I had a customer. He needed a side mirror, and it was $300. And he's like, I found one for $40. It was a power one. And then he came back, and he's like, okay. I can't even see out of my side mirror on the freeway. My rate's so bad. He's like, my fault. I'll get the real one. Like, okay.
That was probably an offshore one.
For sure.
Well, I thought you were going to say.
They just use a film, and then also on the way that it's attached on the inside of the housing, it'll just shake so much when you're driving that you can't even see out way.
He just
either.
Said it was just blur.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not even going to try to look through this.
That's sad. That is, I mean,
if it's that cheap,
exactly.
Yeah, $40 for a power mirror. That's like crazy.
So it must have been an eBay special or something like that.
Yeah, it must have been on your list over there.
Yeah, it probably was. Let me see where they're selling mirrors anywhere.
Yeah, who's side mirror? Mirrors? Yeah, power
mirror. Oh, looks, 160,000 side mirrors sold. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Yeah, yeah.
No. So, but this, I think we're going to see this more and more, though. They're trying to infiltrate and get ways to get mass amounts of product in that they make money on without saying that it's counterfeit, you know? So, yeah,
they have websites now that are just straight from offshore stuff.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, there's stuff like...
I mean, with the huge new trend of a bunch of people getting into e-commerce and drop shipping, mm-hmm. they just buy parts or whatever merchandise from wherever worldwide. To make a dollar.
So. Yeah. And so be conscientious about this, obviously. I mean, the mirror's a funny thing. Nobody got hurt, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But all in all, you could end up with something that puts your family in jeopardy, other folks on the road in jeopardy, so many different... things that could cause an issue as far as that goes. So just be super careful with what you're doing. Like I said, if you come to somebody like the West Automotive Group or a quality repair facility and quality collision facility, rest assured they have your best interest in buying quality parts. Also because of the warranty they put behind it. We put a 2-year, 24,000-mile minimum warranty behind stuff. We're not going to make sure not put junk parts on your car because you're just going to come back. We have to warranty them. Doesn't make you happy, doesn't make us happy. So that's why we don't use those. And that's also why we don't sell $40 mirrors. So anyway, it's all good.
Yeah.
Maybe the glass. If you could just get, the glass is just broken. The rest of the mirror's not. But most of these mirrors now, like I had to put one on that 2019 Hyundai that I have. Mm-hmm. Hyundai. The dang thing was like $350.
Yeah.
They're crazy. No,
they're expensive.
And it wasn't even heated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some of the Mercedes ones that are $1,000. Oh, I'm very sure. Close. Yeah.
So more to the story, don't clip your mirror on the garage and take it out. That's usually what happens to those. It never works out good.
Hold them in first.
Exactly. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us, man. Christian, thanks for joining us. Kevin, just know that as you're looking down on us, we're thinking about you and love and miss you every day. Paul, thank you for being here for the show. And Brendan, always thank you for being our producer. You're an amazing guy. Without you flipping the switches and turning the dials, we wouldn't be able to be here. So if we'd just be standing here because we wouldn't be on air. Because
I just want to point out off the radio, everybody, they've been standing the entire time for this show. So it's been like, I've been like looking up at them. The
We wanted to make you feel smaller.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Congratulations. It was done. We're just standing up today because that's a cool thing. It's like a stand up desk in here. Yeah. You can stand up or sit down.
Some say it's anyway. A stand up comedy show.
It is a comedy okay. show for sure. San Diego and everybody else out there, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. You've been listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM. Until next week, we'll be back live. See you at 7 a.m. next Saturday. Take care, folks.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com. And click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.